Today, Secretary of State Hillary Clinton will meet in Washington with officials from Pakistan. The meeting comes after a string of seemingly good news in the fight against militants in Pakistan and in North Waziristan. It includes the killings and arrests of several al-Qaeda and Taliban leaders in recent months. And the U.S. has also ramped up the use of drone strikes along the border there, launching dozens of them already this year, including one yesterday in the North Waziristan area that, according to intelligence officials, killed four militants. The CIA director, Leon Panetta, has said more cooperation from Pakistan is seriously disrupting al-Qaeda and could be forcing the Taliban in Afghanistan to enter into negotiations. The U.S.-Pakistan relationship has long been troubled. If that relationship has turned a corner, why? What caused that? Joining us again, Arif Rafiq. He writes the Pakistan Policy Blog and is president of Vizier Consulting, a security consulting group. And we're also joined again, welcome back, Peter Galbraith, former deputy special representative of the Secretary General of the UN in Afghanistan. Good morning to both of you.
Morning.
Morning.
So this meeting today is with Pakistan's foreign minister, Shah Mahmood Qureshi. But the man many people say is behind it and is really taking charge of strategic planning for Pakistan is the army chief, Ashfaq Qayani. Number one, is that true? Is he really in charge of strategy out of Pakistan, Arif? And who is he?
Yes, it's definitely true. And Ashfaq Qayani is the chief of staff of the Pakistan Army. And traditionally, the Pakistan Army has monopolized not just the formation of security policy inside Pakistan, but also has had a deep political influence. And so in the past 6 months or so, we've seen a big push by the army against the civilian political leadership to get this monopoly over the formation of security policy. And so what Qayani is doing is he's sort of steering the pace and the nature of how Pakistan is pursuing this endgame in Afghanistan and trying to cement a long-term relationship with the United States.
Well, Peter, we've definitely seen a shift in the amount of cooperation that we're getting out of Pakistan's military. For a long time, they said there wasn't much that they could do, or they were doing all that they could. And clearly, there's been a change in how much they're either able to do or willing to do. Especially, Pakistan recently captured a number of high-ranking Taliban, including the number two, Mullah Abdul Ghani Baradar. Is this a change in what Pakistan's able to do or willing to do?
It's a change in what Pakistan is willing to do. The army has always been capable of undertaking these operations, which, incidentally, I don't think is the army alone. I think it also reflects the influence of Pakistan's civilian government, which also very much wants to cooperate with the United States. But I think this is also a real success for President Obama's policy in South Asia. In the previous administration, basically Pakistan and the United States treated each other with contempt. The former Pakistani dictator, Pervez Musharraf, would make promises to President Bush that basically American officials knew were lies. Bush would accept them. And it was a very unhealthy relationship. Now there's a lot more straight talking. The Pakistanis are doing what they say they'll do. The Americans are expecting them to do it. And the U.S. has also put a lot of focus on Pakistan's internal problems, its economic problems, and it's marshaling both American and international resources to help Pakistan.
So, Peter Galbraith, put on your hat of a former U.S. diplomat for a moment, if you will. If you were a member of a State Department delegation observing this relationship, would you think that from here on the Pakistanis and the Americans see eye to eye on how to deal with the Taliban? We're not going to see any more divergence, or are there still some surprises left in this relationship?
Look, they don't see eye to eye, but entirely. But the real problem in Pakistan is been, as it has been for a long time, who's really in charge? You have an elected civilian government that's in office but not entirely in power. It very much wants to deal with both the Pakistani and the Afghanistan Taliban. You have the army, which is moving in the right direction, but you also have the inter-services intelligence, the Pakistani equivalent of the CIA. Elements of this organization were the people who created and supported the Taliban, supporting them long after September 11th. Now, have they had a change of heart? Has the chief of staff of the army gotten better control over the ISI? Well, it's not clear, but what is clear is that the direction is good.
Arif, you've written that Pakistan really has their eye on the end game in Afghanistan, that they're looking ahead to the U.S. involvement in that country, and they're hoping that with increased cooperation that they can deny India, their rival, a strategic role in Afghanistan. And you even suggested that Pakistan is looking for perhaps getting a civil nuclear deal that's similar to the one that India has with the U.S. That suggests that Pakistan has very high hopes, but that would also suggest that they're willing to go pretty far in order to get something from the United States, doesn't it?
Right. Yes. Yeah. So the Pakistani army leadership sees its influence with the Afghan Taliban as sort of chips that it can turn in at the right time in order to secure very material benefits and then some broader benefits in terms of security and influence inside the region. And so one of the premier requests is request for this civil nuclear deal similar to the one that the United States and India constructed last year. And so Pakistan is also looking for U.S. assistance to modernize its military and then hundreds of millions of dollars in aid for specific aid projects such as dams and other types of infrastructural work inside the country.
Do you think it seems highly unlikely that the U.S. would create that kind of nuclear deal, but do you think the U.S. is prepared to offer that in exchange for extended cooperation?
Yeah, I think a civil nuclear deal is very unlikely because of Pakistan's history of nuclear proliferation. But I think what the U.S. might do is sort of dangle the offer so as to create, a sort of good mood among the Pakistanis, and perhaps the political leadership can come back and say, hey, the United States offered us this. But in the end, such a deal needs approval from Congress. It needs approval from the IAEA, the International Atomic Energy Association. And so there's quite a bit of hurdles that will, follow any sort of verbal commitment or indication that the United States is willing to entertain such an offer.
Arif Rafiq writes the Pakistan Policy blog, and he's president of Vizier Consulting, a strategic consulting group. And Ambassador Peter Galbraith, former deputy special representative of the Secretary General of the UN in Afghanistan. Thanks to both of you.
Thank you.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.